This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome to Haystack Help Radio. I, however, am not Scott Whatley. I am Dan Muir, in for Scott Whatley. He's on vacation. If you don't know me, I am the co-host of Rush to Reason, and you can catch me, John Rush, every weekday afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on KLZ 560. Right now, it is Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch, attorney Kevin Flesch with Flesch & Beck Law Firm. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. How are you?
Doing mighty fine.
That's good. What a beautiful... What a beautiful spring. Yeah. Yeah, you do have a new noggin.
The new do.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. It's been, you know, every time I come in here, it's, you know, a couple of weeks at a time. It seems like something's changed.
Something's changing. Yeah.
And look at you. You don't have any hair on your head now.
None. Zero zip, nada. But, you know, it's kind of, you know what? Okay, the strangest part is the back of your head is now always cold.
I can imagine.
It's really weird. You don't realize how much heat your hair retains.
Well, and when we're in the sun like this, I would imagine that you've got to be careful of getting sunburned, too.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Really watching it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want any problems there.
No. So tell us a little bit about Flesch & Beck Law Firm.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a firm that's based in Englewood. We actually have multiple offices these days, but our main office is in Englewood, basically Broadway and Hamden, old Englewood. So we've been there since 97, and we practice in primarily two areas of the law now. All phases of litigation relating to those two areas. So one is the personal injury matters that we talk about a lot about on this show, either premises liability or what normal people think of slip and falls and car accidents and any other time that someone's caused you injury that's not your fault. So that can run the gamut of all sorts of things. And then the other aspect of our practice is relating to criminal defense work, so both in municipal, state court, federal court, that sort of thing.
I just thought of something. So does that mean somebody would, like, retain you if their ears hurt after listening to me host a show?
Yes, exactly.
It could be.
You know, it could be quiet enjoyment issues that, of course, they could always change the channel, but...
They could, but some people are, you know, gluttons for punishment,
yes.
And they got to sue somebody.
That's exactly right. Yes, and if that's what they're looking for, then they should give me a call. We have free consultations. We can talk about how you do on the radio. And the damages that you cause on a regular basis.
On a regular basis. Oh, great. Your phone lines are going to light up. this is not good for me, I have a feeling. Okay, so so you guys cover all sorts of, you know, personal injury, liability, those kinds of things. What other things do you cover?
Yeah, so relating to the personal injury cases, you know, anytime. So the easiest way for people to think about it is if they've been injured by someone else and the other person is liable for their injuries because of something they did. They're negligent or they had some sort of duty to protect the other person and they didn't actually follow through with that duty and then someone is injured because of it, we can help you with those sorts of things. We offer the free consultation so we can talk about how exactly the case has happened, what exactly has happened, and then whether or not we can recover for you. And, I mean, we get, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill sort of car accident, rear end, all of those sorts of cases, which are really pretty boring on the radio, right? But then we also have other cases where I had a case a decade ago where a guy was bitten by a feral cat in somebody's basement, and he was bitten in the joint of his finger, and the enzymes from the cat's mouth caused a significant infection in his hand and his arm, and he had significant damages because of it.
Really?
Yeah, so, that was a really interesting case because it had aspects of not only premises liability, so the dangerous condition on the premises, which was the other person feeding these wild cats, because that's what a feral cat is, right?
Right.
Okay, so whenever you're dealing with wild animals and someone sort of in the situation that they are causing that wild animal to stick around, it's strict liability. So the person has no defense to someone getting hurt on their premises. And there's a really good case out of Iowa where a person was actually, they had lions and tigers in cages, small zoo sort of thing.
Okay.
And that particular case, the animals got out and mauled someone and caused injuries to someone. And so that's sort of that line of cases relating to wild animals. We did some research, and it was one of those conversations where I'm sitting in my conference room sort of listening to the claim, and you're like, come on.
Right?
Really? I'm going to... Yeah. But then you start looking into it and you start realizing, no, this is a valid claim, and we ended up resolving it, and we had to file suit and educate the insurance company a little bit about why they had to pay under their policy. But we eventually got damages for the client. So it, those sorts of things, so they really do run. It's amazing what happens to human beings in interacting with other people.
Yeah, so if you suffer an injury or have something like this happen that's not your fault,
yeah,
give you a call.
And yeah,
there might be,
I mean,
might be some help in store for
right.
you.
Right. Now, of course, we also get the, you know, I was at McDonald's and they didn't give me the right order, and I'm really upset about it because it made me late for something else. And I, you know, that's
I know you've asked me to stop calling about that one.
yes, I have. That's exactly right. And then that sort of case in the initial stages, because one of the things that we have to look at is how much in the way of damages. You may be able to prove liability. You may be able to prove that what the person did has caused you damages, but then the damages are so nominal that that just doesn't make sense for us to get involved. And we have a lot of those sorts of cases that we talk through with folks and say, technically, you're right. You do have the ability to bring a claim, but at the same time, what are you going to get out of it? And is it worth your time?
Yeah, and that will also put somebody's mind at ease.
Yeah.
So they don't think they're being taken advantage
right.
of or losing out on something.
Absolutely.
That's coming to them.
And the amount of advertising that goes on relating to this sort of area of practice sort of spawns those questions. And people, they're valid questions. They don't know. Is this worth something? Is it not? I mean, and the law is tricky sometimes. I mean, you've got another example of where things can get really out of hand is I had a case recently where a homeowner paid for a home remodel for their house. She did it through credit card, and then the home remodeler took more money than they should have, and they didn't immediately pay that money back through her credit card. So she disputed it with her credit card. She also sent them a demand for it and gave them a specific time to return the money, and they still didn't do it. And we eventually sued the contractor, not just for the breach of what happened with regard to the home remodel, but also for civil theft. Civil theft, if you can prove it, you get three times the amount that's being withheld. You also get your attorney fees and costs paid for by the other side. So in this case, we actually went to trial on it. I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal to the client, and so we did it for that reason.
It's the principle of the thing.
Right. And so we ended up the court found that the remodeler eventually gave the money back after we filed suit. So we didn't get those damages, but they awarded her $1 for that and then awarded all of the attorney fees. And the attorney fees, so the claim initially was like $3,000. The attorney fees ended up being over $5,000 for the work that we had to do on the case. And he's making payments to me now. So it's those sorts of things that, you know, you don't really think about, but there's always little nuances in either the statute or the case law that you may have a claim.
Yeah, I guess I've never heard of civil theft before.
Yeah, it's one that we use quite often. I actually represent a number of physician's assistants that are outside of the health networks that Blue Cross Blue Shield in particular, because they don't want the physician's assistants getting paid outside of their network, they will pay what the physician's assistants rate is outside of network to the policyholder directly, and then expect the policyholder to pay that physician's assistant. What 10% of those individuals do is they just keep the money. So there's an example of where you get a surgery, you get a bill from the physician's assistant that was involved in that surgery.
Okay.
10 days later. That bill is then submitted to Blue Cross Blue Shield, but Blue Cross Blue Shield sends you the check to pay that person. A certain percentage of people keep that money that they don't have any right to.
Maybe they're thinking they won the lottery.
Well, they think they got a surgery and they got paid.
They got paid.
Right.
Yeah.
So in those sorts of cases, we send the person a demand saying, your insurance company has paid for this service. We know that you've gotten the money because the insurance company's provided us the check that was cashed by you. Pay us back. So there's a classic example of where someone doesn't have any right to the money.
Yeah, well, that would have been like when I had my car accident.
Yeah.
So the insurance company sent me a check for the repairs.
Yep.
And then, you know, it would have been easy just to, you know,
yep.
go up to the casino or Black Hawk
yeah.
or whatever,
sure.
you know. But no, I mean, that was for paying for the car repairs.
Yes. And there's a certain segment of our population, unfortunately, that believe that they just got a check randomly. And so
they're just not paying attention.
Well, there's no free lunch.
Nope.
So at any rate, so those are sort of the cases where we definitely bring up the civil theft statute, and that's where we use it. And it's very beneficial to say, listen, you pay me now, the one time. the full amount that's due, and or we'll work out payments. If you're unable to do that, I need to know about it and why, so that I can talk with my client. But if they don't respond, then we file the complaint. And if we prevail, it's three times that amount.
So just real quick, what's the difference between criminal theft and civil theft?
Yeah. So we use the same statute. Criminal theft, if they can prove it, they can put you in jail. The civil theft statute, if I can prove it, I get three times the damages plus the attorney fees and costs. So it's just it's strictly a monetary award, but there's some real punitive aspect of it because of the monetary award that I can get.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. So those are the sorts of things that are out there. I mean, another example is, you know, when you've got a wage claim. So you are terminated from your employment, either by what you've done or by just your employer says you're fired, right? They have the obligation to pay you your wages, either within, I think the statute says, 48 hours or the next business cycle.
When the next payroll is.
Sure. So if they don't pay you your accrued vacation and all of those things, you can make a demand for wages, and you have to do that within a certain period of time, and you send it to them certified mail pursuant to the statute. But if you do all those things and they don't pay you, again, you have the right for a punitive sanction and attorney fees and costs to be paid. So there's another example where we've done those sorts of things. Landlord-tenant, you know, the same thing where you have it as a security deposit. They have a certain period of time under the statute. Normally it's 60 days, I think, or whatever your lease says, to return those funds for your security deposit and explain to you why they withheld money. Again, if they don't do that and you send them a demand and they still don't respond, you have the ability to get punitive sanctions. And those are all statutory in nature. It's all what the legislature has given us as civilians to try to get your money back.
Okay, very good. And these are all things that you can handle?
Yeah, it's all things we've handled in the past.
Oh, very good.
And it's things that people don't think about that are really sort of related to a personal injury. Because, again, you've been hurt by someone. It's a contract, but you get these damages through a statute. And there are things that's why the free consultation is helpful.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm one that believes in preventative.
Right.
You know when we talk about this all the time with John Rush on Drive Radio, preventative maintenance on your car and all these kinds of things. And so it's kind of like being prepared.
Right.
So isn't it kind of a good idea to know who your attorney is before something happens?
I would think so. Have a relationship with them.
Exactly.
Have an idea of who it is. And I get calls about, you know, can I put you on a retainer and those sorts of things and, you know, give you some money so that something happens down the road, I'll have you, you're available. And I say, well, sure, you can do that. But it also, generally speaking, is just a phone call. If you know who you want to talk to, call us, you know, talk to me directly right away. Or make an appointment to come in and see me. And we normally can get people in within a day or so of something happening. So,
because I would feel much more comfortable with that, you know, having your information, having talked to you, than being in a car accident, looking up at the billboard going, oh, maybe I need to call that guy.
Yeah.
Because you don't know that guy.
No, you don't. And we get calls after these sorts of shows or when I'm on a Rush to Reason or other things where people just have questions. I'll get a couple of calls at least after each show where people do exactly that. So we welcome that sort of feedback as well relating to legal issues. And if you have questions, give us a call.
Okay, and that number is 303-806-8886. Or you can go online and it's fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. Okay, so Kevin, when we get back from the break, I want to talk about what happened on I-70 with the crash.
Yes.
From a legal aspect.
Sure.
Because this thing looks like a huge, huge mess.
It's going to be horrible, and there's going to be a bunch of empty pockets when it's done. Okay, it's going to be bad.
Yeah. Okay, and you're listening to Haystack Help Radio, and this is Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. I'm Dan Muir. I'm in for Scott Whatley, and we'll be right back.
If you missed rates being this low before, now might be your time. Lower rates may help you to qualify for your new home or lower your payments and eliminate mortgage insurance. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We've been serving Colorado since 2001, and many of our clients are taking advantage of the lower rates. Most are able to save hundreds a month, all without extending their term. What could you do with $300, $400 a month or more? Pay off debt? Do some home improvement that you've been putting off? With your equity increasing and rates lowering, now might be the last chance to save thousands in interest. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Have you applied for a loan lately? Are you being treated like you're in an assembly line? No one listening? Just talking? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, where we will listen and find the right loan for you, all without the stress. Take AIM, 720-895-0500.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
David R. Cishan is a certified estate planner, regional vice president of Householder Group, and a registered representative with LPL Financial. David Cishan knows that building a secure financial plan begins with comprehensive strategies in estate planning, income distribution, tax and investment planning, and risk management. Cishan Financial is a family business, and they treat their clients like family. Cishan Financial holds to the highest fiduciary standards, representing their clients' interest above all else. Call now for your free consultation, 720-482-1917, 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. This is Dan Muir in for Scott Whatley, and I'm the co-host of Rush to Reason. Be sure to join me and John Rush today at 3 right here on KLZ 560. Along with me is Kevin Flesh of Flesh & Beck Law Firm, and you can always get a hold of Kevin after the show at 303-806-8886 or go online to fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH lawfirm.com. Okay, so Kevin, before we went to break, I brought up the I-70 crash.
Yeah,
that was a horrific incident. And to be honest with you, as you know, I drive for Uber and Lyft. I put on about 10,000 miles a month.
Right.
The scariest thing for me is for something like that to happen.
Yeah, especially if you're in the middle lane, you know, 5-6 cars in one of those situations, what do you do? I mean,
I don't know. Even when you're at the end and you're stopped and you're seeing that semi coming up behind you,
right,
and you're going, oh, I really hope he knows that we're all stopped and
yeah,
can stop. And, you know, and I did get rear-ended over off of I-70 and 225.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, luckily that was a low speed hit. And right, what I mean low speed, I mean, no one was doing 85, obviously.
Right. But amount of poundage,
and not only that, but I was at a complete stop. And when the guy hit me, and I really don't know how fast he was going, but it was hard enough that it threw the hat off my head and it threw everything inside the car around.
Right.
You know, and you just don't realize that there's that much force when somebody hits you. And then I've got a picture of the actual, you know, the outside of the cars have these plastic bumpers.
Right.
But I've got a picture of the actual steel bumper on the inside, and that thing had a crease in it like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. So it was a pretty hard hit.
Yeah, I just finished a trial, actually, where we had an accident reconstructionist, and you talk about the forces and vectors relating to a crash like that and closing speeds and the amount of force. And it's amazing when you start talking about how these vehicles, especially a semi-truck, there is so much force. Just a force in motion when they're moving down the road, especially with this guy who's out of control coming down the mountainside and into town. I mean, it was a horrible situation. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't had more people injured than what we had. Luckily, there's not, but just horrific situation. And obviously, as the news reports come out and maybe charges are changed and we find out more about what he knew or didn't know and training. And I haven't even heard whether it's been confirmed that he had a CDL. I assume he did, but I don't know.
I heard that this was his second trip down the mountain, so he'd done it before. I believe that he did have a CDL. You're right. I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't heard anybody confirm that. So there's going to be a lot of information relating to it. Obviously the company that he's working for seems to be, very negligent in what they've done to the point of being criminal as well. So you wonder if some of those individuals that are managing that company and the five vehicles that they had or the semis that were involved in the company aren't going to have. I'm hoping that there's some criminal prosecution relating to that as well, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, we always talk about uninsured and underinsured.
Yes.
And my information says that they only had a $750,000 liability policy.
Right.
That just doesn't seem like enough when you're driving something like that.
It's not. I mean, one of the reasons that you see so much advertising from personal injury cases from lawyers relating to big truck accidents is the companies that are credible companies that are doing this sort of work, the big corporations that are running these trucks generally have multiple layers of insurance. There's reinsurance, so you don't have just one liability policy. You have several of them, and it's in the millions of dollars, so that if something like this were to occur, there'd be enough assets. Obviously, this company isn't one of those credible companies if they only had $750,000, because it's never going to cover the damages that were caused.
No, anybody looking at this can see that it's going to be a lot.
Oh, it's going to be awful. Right. And you know, my heart goes out to all of those people that were hurt and killed. Oh. I mean, you're sitting in traffic. It's sort of the worst possible outcome with a situation like this. But just related to, you know, the question is, why did the individual that came down the mountain just not take that truck off the road as soon as he could? I mean, he drove past one of the areas that he could have taken the truck into, and certainly he could have at any point found a spot along the way and just dumped it, but He didn't do that. And that's why he's in custody, and that's why he's being charged.
And that could be lack of experience.
Oh, yeah.
Young guy, 23. I mean, what a horrible thing to have happen to you at 23.
Right. Completely agree.
Especially if it really is just you're a novice and you really don't know what to do.
Right.
I mean, just horrifying.
But I would think, I mean, you're not a novice at driving. I've been driving for over 30 years. I wouldn't just jump in a truck and go up the mountains. I've driven stick shifts before, but I have no idea how a truck is. You know, you actually drive one with the different gears and everything else and what you'd have to do. And I get the impression that this guy wasn't that far off in the way of experience. I mean, he didn't have much relating to driving a truck, nor just regular driving experience at 23.
No, at 23, what the most you can have is about 7 years of any sort of driving experience.
Right.
And I don't think they put guys in semi-trucks at 16.
No.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
So more than likely, you got to be, for insurance, I would think you have to be at least 21, let's just say.
Yeah.
So maybe he's had only 2 years of experience.
Right.
Which, you know, being in aviation, you know, when I was flying, your goal in life, your first 2 years was not to kill yourself.
Right. That's exactly right.
And I can't imagine it's much more different in driving a semi-truck.
I would agree, especially with the mountains that we have to our west.
Yeah.
It's one thing driving in Kansas or some other plain state where you don't have a whole lot of elevation.
Well, and you know from being from Wisconsin that when you first came out here, it was like a lot different than what you thought it was going to be.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you've been through hills around the Mississippi or whatever. You know, this should be no big deal. Holy cow, it's a lot different.
Right. Absolutely. And I wasn't driving a rig with a 40-foot trailer
right.
either.
You're just yeah. in your car.
Right. That's exactly
and
right.
And it's a big difference. And yeah. you start worrying about, am I going to overheat my brakes? Or well, is this hard on the transmission?
Yeah.
You know, you start worrying about all these things just driving a car.
Right. And it's all things that you teach new drivers now. I mean, I've got teenagers that we're talking about that all the time. And so, I mean, and that's why there are so many people that are so interested in the case to find out what the outcome is, because everybody, it shocks the conscience. That's what it does for the citizens that are left, is that you can't believe that this actually happened, and that someone could be that naive and that negligent.
So have you been involved in multiple car accident cases before?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go over what that might
not
look
not personally, but I've,
no,
I've
I mean,
represented
as a representative.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go over what that might look like as a person being involved in one, because even in my incident that I had, you know, I had a driver driving a borrowed vehicle. So now we've got two different insurance companies involved.
Yes. Right? And yours, so really
and mine,
three.
So there's three. And so now it's like, and you know, even though I've hosted this show and others, you know, with GIA and stuff like that, I didn't know that it came down to the policy of the person that owned the truck.
Yeah, that's the first, that's the primary insurance in Colorado, is the actual owner
vehicle.
Of the vehicle, whatever that conveyance is, whether it's a motorcycle, truck, car, whatever. It's initially the owner of that vehicle. That's the primary. And then you get to the driver, that's secondary. And then the third possibility, if those insurance policies are exhausted, would be your insurance through underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage. And I even have one right now where you may have an umbrella policy. Well, you're a good example with Lyft or Uber.
Correct.
So you're primary. You have your vehicle. You have a policy relating to you driving, but Lyft and Uber also have policies on top of yours in case they need it.
That's
or in
correct.
Case your insurance lapses, to make sure that there's insurance there. So you've got to do some digging into what exactly the purpose of the trip that the person was doing that's caused you injury, and also who owns, and because there may be multiple policies relating to any one crash. And it is a really interesting process. It gets even more complicated when you get multiple vehicles. So I had a case, I don't know, 5-6 years ago on 6th Avenue. It was a same sort of thing. It was a 6-car pileup. My client was in the middle of the pileup. There were two people behind him, two people in front of him, and then a third vehicle that they never found that really caused it.
They never found it?
There was a person that left the scene, that drove away from the scene. And so, is that six? Yeah, that's six.
Yeah, wow.
So we, and the issue was, who's at fault? Because the people that, generally speaking, when you rear end somebody, the statute and the case law would suggest that you're presumptively at fault for rear ending someone. But what I'm finding in trying these cases, and that was the first case that I tried, that was a multiple vehicle case where I sued the people behind me saying, well, they're responsible because they didn't leave enough space. Their defense was, we had left enough space, but we weren't expecting the person in front to cause the accident. But what is enough space in the driving environment at 8:30 in the morning on 6th Avenue?
Exactly.
And so enough space, you're never going to have it, was their argument. And the jurors bought that argument. So what the jurors said, and me suing the people behind me, is that they were similarly situated to my client. My client didn't hit anybody in front of him, but he got really close after he got hit from two people behind him. But they've said, you know, the people behind him, there wasn't any evidence that they were right on his bumper or that they had any way to stop any quicker to not cause an accident. So they didn't find either one of them at fault. They said to us that the person that caused the accident was the person in the front that was gone, that we could never find, and that everybody else was just victims of that person's driving. So what we ended up doing in that case is we lost the trial because the people behind him, they said, well, they weren't at fault.
Right.
They weren't liable. And so with that, we then had to make an underinsured, uninsured motorist claim for the person in front. Denver, I just had another case 2 years ago, same sort of thing.
Okay, so my question is, while all this is going on, you as the person that's damaged, what do you do? Can you get your car fixed? Do you go to the doctor?
Well,
and then not only that, but then who's paying for all this?
Right.
I mean, it's not like all of us have, you know, $25,000 in the bank to, you know, start paying this stuff off as we're waiting.
Right. That's exactly right. So in this particular case, client had insurance for collision. So his car was taken care of through his insurance because we could never have it. No one would take responsibility for it behind him.
Okay.
So they all from the beginning basically said, nope, it's the guy in the front. We're like, well, that doesn't seem right because of all the things I just talked about. And so, but client ended up getting his car fixed through his insurance company. They did what's called an inner insurance arbitration agreement. All the insurance companies have the ability to arbitrate these claims relating to property damage. And so they did that secondarily. He had health insurance. He got treated through that, got himself better so that all of those other insurances took care of other things. But if you don't have those things, you're absolutely right. You've got to have a pot of money to take care of things or run up a bunch of credit card debt to get things repaired or get medical treatment. We have some ability to have folks, we have relationships with doctors that will handle things on liens, or there are lien companies out there that will help you with medical treatment if you don't have health insurance. But it's very, very complicated if you don't have it.
And you just brought up something, too, that's another great reason why to have you as a resource right away is because you have other resources that can help get these things resolved or get things moving along quicker.
Completely agree with you. So one of the defenses that the insurance company always uses with a person that doesn't treat medically right away is that, oh, you probably weren't really hurt. And it must have been something else that happened. So the longer you wait to get treatment, the more opportunity you give them to make that defense. And so that's why it is so important to get a hold of us right away. Even if you've been to the ER and you know you're going to get treatment, but you don't know exactly what it's going to be, you want to get us on board right away so that we can talk you through it. There are some health care providers and some doctors out there that don't really want to be involved in a car accident or some sort of litigation. We know most of those at this point, of the ones that are difficult to deal with and those that aren't. And so if you're trying to treat with folks that we know we're going to have difficulty getting medical records and opinions from down the road, we're going to tell you that so that you can decide if you want to go a different route for your treatment.
So what I would do is, if you don't have a lawyer, is I would give Kevin a call at the office this afternoon. And Kevin, you also have these handy little pocket things, folder. What do you call them?
They're little license and insurance folders.
Yeah, and they work great. So I've got all my registration, insurance, and all that kind of stuff in my glove compartment. Yep. And then when you hand it to the officer for your speeding ticket, you know, he knows that you're represented, right? So
exactly.
You just hand him the whole thing, and then you come back with a warning instead of a ticket, which
That's
is
right.
a great thing.
Exactly.
And but I'll bet you if somebody called and wanted to get you might send them out one of these.
Sure. Yeah, not a problem.
Okay, super. So the phone number for Flesh and Becker, Kevin Flesh, is 303-806-8886, or you can go online to fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH. lawfirm.com. You're listening to Legal Hour here on Haystack Help Radio with the MUR and Kevin Flesh, and we'll be right back.
Why are seniors considering a reverse mortgage other than no mortgage payments? Hi, Steve Hurley here with Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. Other than no mortgage payments, another reason may be the access to equity that they did not previously have. Taking in monthly payments for life or a specified period of time, or simply having a line of credit available. Take aim at 720-895-0500 and ask for me, Steve Hurley, NMLS number 243200, regulated by DORA, an equal opportunity lender.
Don't let mosquitoes disrupt your family fun at your next barbecue or keep the kids from camping out in the backyard. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I'm very happy that our outdoor activities have been mosquito-free for the last 4 years thanks to the fine folks at Mosquito Authority. Their mission is to help protect you and your family from mosquitoes and the diseases they carry. And did you know when your dog or cat is bitten by a mosquito, heartworm is one of the most common infections? At Mosquito Authority, they guarantee you won't be bothered by mosquitoes between treatments. And if you are, hey, all you have to do is call. They'll come back out, reassess your property, and if necessary, retreat at no additional charge. No contracts, no commitments, and best of all, no mosquitoes. Call 303-688-2847. That's 303-688-2847. Or visit mosquitoauthority.com.
Flesh and Beck are the attorneys you need after you've been injured due to the reckless actions of a drunk driver. Often victims of drunk driving accidents are forced to turn to their own insurance protection coverage to get their cars fixed and medical bills paid before receiving compensation, even though the drunk driver was at fault for the accident. When you are in an accident caused by someone who chose to drink and drive, unfortunately, getting the compensation you deserve isn't always as easy as you think. Insurance companies will bend over backwards to avoid a lawsuit, but only if they think they'll lose. And insurance companies know that if a lawsuit is leveled by a serious attorney and it goes to trial, the jury is allowed to decide on a monetary award for a sympathetic plaintiff who's been hit by a drunk driver. So a smaller injury settlement is in their best interest. Don't get taken advantage of. Don't settle for less than what you deserve. Call Flesh and Beck today at 303-806-8886 for the representation that will hold their feet to the fire and get you all the compensation that you deserve.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers KLZ listeners complete pet care services every day, all at one location. It's so much more than a clinic and so convenient. Their expert staff is always happy to help your pet have the happy and healthy life it deserves. Schedule a medical checkup for your beloved companion or take the first step toward a better behaved buddy by signing your pup up for obedience training. Did you know that if your sweet kitty needs grooming, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is one of the few facilities that offers grooming for both dogs and cats. And if you're planning a vacation, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers boarding for dogs, cats, and other small pets so you can take your vacation without worry, knowing that your four-legged family member's home away from home has a fully equipped medical center on site. Learn more about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at LoneTreeVet.com or call 303-708-8050.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to Legal Hour here on Haystack Help Radio. I'm Dan Muir in for Scott Whatley. And don't forget to join me, John Rush, and Cassie George today at 3 o'clock for Denver's Afternoon Rush, Rush to Reason. And, okay, so Kevin, we've been talking about, you know, needing a lawyer. And so, why is it important to shop around for a personal injury attorney?
Yeah, I'm always amazed. The reason that it's important is because you want to make sure that your personality works with the lawyer that you select or the law firm that you select. And there's lots of us out there. When we see billboards and park benches and buses and, you know, RTD. And if you watch TV during the day, during the week, we're just everywhere, right? I mean, and not necessarily in a good way. I mean, I think some of the advertising is pretty unprofessional in the sense of they're marketing sort of to the lowest common denominator relating to we're going to get you $1 million for a hangnail sort of aspect of it, and then it just doesn't work that way.
What?
I know, it's
really
crazy.
You can't get $1 million right? for a hangnail. Come
on. I wish you could, because I would have stopped practicing a long time ago. but you can't. So, and it gives people sort of a sense of false hope relating to what their claim is worth. So the important thing, I think, is to get to someone who is credible. I think our firm is one of those places, and have a discussion about your case. And sometimes the discussions are good in the sense that you have a viable case that has damages and that, you know, these are the things you need to do to make sure you get fully compensated. So those are the cases that I'll say are the majority of the time relating to what a rational person thinks will happen. The other thing that people do, though, is they call and they think that, you know, that they see the billboard that says, what's your case worth? And they immediately think, because they see on TV that people get millions of dollars, that all the cases must be $1 million. And you just need to have an educational piece to it.
Okay, so let's say you're a deal like I had,
yeah,
the rear end thing.
Right.
And I came up to you and I said, Kevin, what's my case worth?
Right.
You really can't give me a dollar amount at that point, can you?
It's really hard, because normally you're coming, if you do it right, you're coming to me a day or two after the accident.
Yeah.
You've had a little bit of treatment. You're describing some of the things that may be whiplash or something else. You may be in a sling because you've got a problem with a shoulder or an arm. You're not exactly sure what it is because you've had an MRI, but no one's read it. No one knows what exactly is going on. You may have a torn labrum. You may have a torn rotator cuff, or it may be nothing. It may be just a muscle that needs some physical therapy and that sort of thing. So it's really, I mean, and those are the folks when I meet with someone 2 days after an accident and they say, well, I want 50 grand out of this accident. You know, because I've gotten those people and they'll come in and they'll have a thought in their mind about what the case is worth.
Is that because maybe some relative told them, or they did see something on TV or an ad, and they think, man, I got rear-ended, so that's, man, 50 grand in my pocket.
Right. And, yeah, I think that's it. Or they have had a conversation with the at-fault party, and they find out what the policy limit is. So they believe as soon as they know what the policy limit is, they're going to get the maximum recovery relating to that policy limit. And there are just things that we have to talk about and work our way through. So to answer your question directly relating to a person that comes in and wants to know the value of their case on the first meeting with me, I can't give it to them. It's just not fair to them or to me. I certainly could be dishonest with them, and I certainly could tell them, oh, it's worth $1 million.
Okay, so like when they come in and start complaining about my radio show hosting, then you've already got the dollar amount,
right?
Don't
you? Exactly, and that's where I say $1 million. It's least worth $1 million. And make a claim directly against Dan Muir, and then wait and see what you can collect. Because, I mean, radio hosts make a lot of money.
Like I always say, dollar down, dollar a day.
No, but that's exactly right. That's the sort of discussion we have. And the discussion that is sometimes a difficult discussion to have with a person is, I understand that you're upset about this, and I understand that, you know, especially in these minor cases where there hasn't been a change of life for the person, thank goodness. You say, well, what do you think six people that go into a room that don't know you and are given evidence about this case right now, what do you think they would award you without having really any interest in it? And obviously it's going to be low.
Yeah, it's going to be low, or they'll
nothing.
Come back and say, well, we don't have enough info yet.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's generally what I say is I just don't have enough yet. And these are the sorts of things that we talk about a roadmap of things that need to happen so that we can get the maximum recovery for folks and what should happen. The other thing that's sometimes interesting about the conversations that we have is I find out information about either past medical experiences or past injuries or also the insurance company that we're dealing with. And there's a handful of insurers right now that are very difficult to deal with. And so I'll be able to tell the person, because we do this sort of work on a daily basis, what those insurance companies are and how it's going to be difficult and what we're going to have to do to make sure that they give them the maximum recovery, including filing suit and maybe going to trial. And that's not very, I just want to be honest with people.
Then what do you do with the opposite guy?
Yeah.
So now the opposite guy is kind of like me, right? So I come in there and I go, well, let's get the car fixed.
Right.
And then people are like, well, you could have injury. You could,
I had one yesterday.
Okay.
So I had a Spanish speaker yesterday, exact thing. He shows me the pictures. He got rear-ended really badly on the north end of town. He wants to get his car fixed. He was taken by ambulance to the hospital. He has some significant injuries. But he doesn't even know who the at-fault party is. I mean, he was taken from the hospital, and he doesn't have a police report. He's not given anything. So we immediately endeavor, before he's retained us, we immediately endeavor to figure out, okay, well, it happened in Arvada. Let's get the Arvada Police Department, information. We ordered the police report online, and then we got it today. You know, it's those sorts of things that we can do to look at and say, okay, so this is who we need to get in contact. They had insurance. That's good. We need to be in contact with them, start a claim for them. And then we work through the issues relating to that and then say, you need to go get some medical treatment. Luckily, he has insurance, so health insurance, so he's going to be able to go do that and get that taken care of. But then we gave him the roadmap about what exactly things he needs to do to maximize his recovery, because clearly he's not at fault for the accident. He needs to get
You said luckily he has health insurance, so now he can go get help. But it was a car accident.
Yes.
So how does that work?
Right. Well, that's a great point. So a lot of people say, well, my health insurance is giving me a hard time because my injuries are related to a car accident. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is your health insurance is there to take care of your health needs and your medical needs. They will cover your claim. We'll deal with the back end issues relating to subrogation later, but a health insurer in Colorado will never deny you the ability to get medical insurance or medical coverage and care because the reason that you're hurt is from a car accident or something else. They have to cover you.
Okay, now there's also this thing on car insurance here in Colorado, MedPay. MedPay, what's
yes.
that?
So if you have MedPay, it'll cover any medical expenses that you need up to a certain dollar amount. Most people have $5,000 of MedPay. Some people have up to $25,000 in MedPay. It's a really good part of the policy because it's like a checkbook for you. And what I explain to people on a regular basis is don't give that MedPay number out, the claim number for medical payments, until you know whether you're going to have to pay things relating to your co-pays for your health insurance, or if you do get an ambulance ride, those are normally $1,200 to $1,800. Make sure that you manage those funds, because that's like a little savings account.
Okay, and it's like a one-time shot, too.
It is, just whatever the limit is. And if the insurance company gets a bunch of requests for payment from the ER, let's say, at the hospital, or the ambulance that took you to the hospital, they'll pay those limits out pretty quickly, and you won't have any of those assets to use for your continuing care.
So then you can't manage it.
Yes.
Or maybe these things could have been paid a different way.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. And I've got a case right now, for example, where a woman completed her treatment last year. She had an injection in her shoulder. She hadn't used any of her MedPay relating to it. And now a year later, after these injections have sort of worn off, she needs to have some more treatment. And where she was getting treatment has said, well, we're not going to do it on a lien anymore because it's been a year. We don't know if it's related to the car accident. She's got $5,000 in MedPay. We're going to use that to get some medical treatment to say, number one, it still is related to the car accident, and number two, get her some care to help her. So you can manage those things if you're careful. And that's where we help people.
Yep, and gang, this is exactly why you need Kevin to represent you, and my computer died. Kevin, what's your phone number?
303-806-8886.
And the website?
The website is fleshlawfirm.com, and Flesh is spelled F as in Frank, L-E-S-C-H.
All right, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. This is The Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. I'm Dan Muir. We'll be right back.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireService.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. Since 2004, it's been our mission to provide the highest quality of service and trust to every customer we serve. M4 Roofing and Gutters is a family-owned and operated company right here in Englewood, Colorado. At M4 Roofing and Gutters, quality customer service is our top priority. For a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project, call today 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and HaystackHelp.com.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
All righty, everybody, welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Dan Mueller in for the vacationing Scott Wiley. And don't forget to join me, John Rush, and Cassie George today for Rush to Reason at 3 o'clock. Guess what, Kevin? Today we're doing dad jokes.
Woo!
Don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss dad
There's
jokes.
So many.
I'm telling you. I mean, we got this down. So anyway, so that's this afternoon at 3 right here on KLZ 560. Okay, Kevin. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, what you should look for in a lawyer.
Yep.
And one of these things that I was looking here on some of the list is that, does a lawyer actually go to trial? Has he ever been in court? Has he ever faced a judge and a jury?
Well, you sure hope a trial lawyer has. And I'll give you an example of where I had an issue. I was in trial last month in a case, and I had a witness, a doctor that actually was a nurse practitioner that I had subpoenaed to show up for trial, and she did not want to come as a witness. And so she ended up hiring a big law firm downtown to try to get the warrant quashed. And so the afternoon before I'm having her testify and the next morning, I get this email from this young lawyer on how our subpoena wasn't good, how she shouldn't have to show up, and that just too bad. And I called him up.
And his teacher didn't grade him?
And I called him up and I said, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. We served the subpoena a week or two ago. If there was an issue, we could have dealt with this last week, because, you know, a jury trial is much like a play or like a TV show or even a radio show. You need to have all the players there to give the evidence.
So you mean Boston Legal was real? With Denny Crane?
Denny Crane. I love Boston Legal. But no, it wasn't completely real. There were some aspects of it that were real. The argument was always good. The outcome wasn't always real. At any rate, so my point is with that is that I asked him, I said, you know, have you actually tried a case, a jury trial? Because anybody who's actually tried a case knows that you get this sort of late notice, it really kind of messes you up, especially with the evidence that I needed from him. And he said, well, I've tried one trial. And not that everybody has to try their first case.
Yep.
But the point is that all of the folks out there that are doing personal injury work and say they're trial lawyers, that's something that I would be asking questions about. And if the person, in my mind, in my estimation, if the person can give you, either they've been really organized and keep track of all of their trials, or they tell you that they've done 10 or less trials, you have to be a little concerned about, because either they just don't try many cases or they just don't want to try many cases, especially if they've been practicing for more than 10 years.
Okay, so let's say you do have that young lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then they've all got to get their start, right?
Completely agree with you.
Okay, so, but wouldn't you then say, okay, so who's above you that's going to help you with this? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, it's a completely fair question, and I still get it. I've been practicing almost 23 years. I still get the person that asks, and I'm never put off by it, because even when I was a young lawyer and I didn't have as much trial experience as I do now, I was honest with them about what I did know or didn't know, and if there was an issue, I had people that could help me with it. And that's a conversation that none of the public should be, you just shouldn't be uncomfortable asking that. It's the same way that you'd want to talk to your doctor about what sort of experience they've had and sort of what they've done, especially if you're having a surgery. You know, you want to have those conversations. And I think those conversations are done best face-to-face, whether it's in person or Skype or whatever, because we'll do both and not just over the phone.
Well, there really is something about looking the guy in the eye.
Oh, completely.
You got to know what you don't want to just be texting back and forth.
No, you don't. And you just want to get a sense of the person in the room, because that makes a difference in a jury trial. How a person acts in a first meeting and how I react to questions or how the other person, it's all a game of perception. As much as I would like to say that it's not, it is. And jurors, I'm always telling clients when we're going to trial, the jury is going to be watching you all week long. And as much as they're going to be listening to the evidence and watching the witness, they're going to be watching you and how you react to things or what you're doing. And so the person that seems the client that seems disinterested or on their phone, especially in criminal cases, or, you know, just being ridiculous sitting next to me, they really watch those sorts of things. And so that sort of human being to human being interaction is really important.
So let's just say you ended up taking a car accident thing to trial.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Would I, as the injured party, have to go? And do you sit there then? Is like, I mean, who's over there? The insurance agency or how does this, does this look like?
So we don't sue insurance companies unless you have a bad faith claim in Colorado or an underinsured, uninsured motorist claim. So you're suing the person that caused you injury, and they're sitting next to the lawyer that has been hired by the insurance company to represent them. And you're sitting with your plaintiff's counsel at the table, and you're there through the whole thing.
So then do you coach your client on how to act in court?
Yes.
I think you would have to.
Yeah, I do. And I have in the past helped clients while we're in trial, because they'll be doing something that is not beneficial to them. And when it's not beneficial, like, it affects the verdict.
Well, like, I fidget, I have ADD, yeah. I mean, it's just constant. So what would you do with somebody like me that's wanting to doodle or wanting to, what do you do?
Yeah, I'd be asking you to keep track of what everybody is saying and writing things down and keeping you busy.
Okay.
So that it looks like you're busy and that you're really involved and that you're doing something and not just looking up at the ceiling or fidgeting and doing other things that just don't look productive. But I would definitely give you tasks to help you so that you're on task. Because, yeah, folks that are just sitting there, and most clients I've found are really, the process itself when you're going through it is kind of an interesting process. Jury trials are actually pretty fun. I mean, things are evolving in front of you. People say things that you don't expect. I mean, it's just a really interesting process, especially picking a jury, talking to just folks out in that show up. They don't want to be there, and now you start asking them questions about, you know, their personal lives and how they're feeling and how people react. It's a really fun process outside of getting a verdict.
So if you were what's one last thing, if you were coaching somebody on how to pick a good attorney like yourself,
yeah,
what would be another thing you would bring up to them?
I would just be going in and talking with them and finding out what their expertise is, what types of cases they really like to work on, and what risk they're willing to take in deciding on what a true value of a case is and whether they're willing to file suit if they don't get that after the initial demand. And then are they going to be the lawyer that's going to be sitting next to you in a jury trial if you have to go to jury trial? Because most firms, you're going to be meeting with a non-lawyer. And then there's going to be some real questions about why things are going the way they are. And are you just a number, or do they really care about your case?
And then once again, personality has a lot to do with it. You got to make sure that you and your attorney get along,
click.
Right?
Click. Yeah, because there's going to be times through the process that there are going to be hard decisions that will have to be made. And you want to make sure that you trust your lawyer and you trust their judgment.
Well, I mean, I keep getting these demand letters to get my paperwork done.
That's a whole other set. That's a whole other. It's a whole other show about client interaction with their lawyer after they've retained them.
All right. So if you need a great lawyer, Kevin Flesh is the man. 303-806-8886. FleshLawFirm.com. That's spelled FLESCH LawFirm.com. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Haystack Help Radio. Be sure to tune in to Rush to Reason today at 3 o'clock. I'm Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.